All right, if y'all will, turn to Matthew chapter 16. I want to do something this morning that we've had several times, but I may touch on some little bit different things. Not that I've changed my mind about anything, but that I just want to go through some things in it that maybe it'll clear up for us some things that's going on in the world today. And I watched old Luke 4:18 a little bit this morning, and I just couldn't stand it. That man ain't done nothing to help them people. The preacher's job today is to build up the saints in the faith. We're to make all men see the fellowship of the mission. We're to do that so people won't be able to toss you to and fro and carry about with every wind of doctrine, which is happening today. Men are departing from the faith. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And doing so, they're teaching others just like they are. Now, Fred Wolf is going to have a lot of answering to do for what he's teaching right now. And this is sad. Okay, and we're going to start in Matthew 16, but first, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we can put our confidence in this book that we have here, this 1611 King James Bible that you preserved for us. And Father, we thank you for those around the countryside that endeavor to teach the Word of God rightly divided. We pray for them and their classes. And Father, we ask you to teach us the Word this morning by your Spirit to build us up in the faith. Let us be attentive to your Word and let us believe you mean what you say. And Father, we thank you for those that are here, and we pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them, to heal them according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter 16, let's go to verse 13. Now, this ain't nothing new to us. This is old stuff. But there's some things in that I want to point out. Now, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And in the verse there, he's talking to his disciples. There are no disciples today. I don't care what the Baptists teach. They teach that they have discipleship classes. No way, we're ambassadors. And an ambassador is in a foreign land, and a disciple is not. Now, a disciple is one that follows Jesus Christ from his baptism until his ascension up. Now, so we're not disciples. Just mark that out right now. Verse 14, and they, the disciples, said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, what was the problem here? They should have known who he was, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Well, if anybody asks you if you're saved, shouldn't you know how you got saved?
Yes.
Well, if somebody asks you, are you saved, what are you going to tell them? Well, I walked the aisle, joined the church, pay my tithes, and go to church every time the door's open. I don't walk on the grass, I don't kick the cat, don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't eat this, don't do that. I follow the dietary laws and all these things, and I believe the whole Bible is written to me. What you gonna do? I'm gonna yawn real big and say, well, you know, in myself, in my mind, this character I'm talking to is not saved. What does the character need? Needs to hear the gospel of Christ. Why? Because that's the power of God unto salvation today. Now, this statement here, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That is the key to a church that Jesus Christ is fixing to build. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute and give you time to think about that. Who's doing the talking to Jesus?
Peter.
What about the other disciples?
Yeah.
Do you reckon all of the disciples believed who Jesus was?
Maybe.
What about Judas Iscariot?
Yeah, he knew.
Did he know who Jesus was?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Because when Jesus Christ was crucified at Calvary, Peter and some of the others, Judas Iscariot, when he saw that he had betrayed innocent blood, what did he do? The money he had, he threw it down at those people's feet and he went and hanged himself. You know why? He had denied the Lord. These others here did not know who the Lord was. Should they have not have recognized the Lord by how he came into Jerusalem and all? About the prophecies back here, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he shed his blood for the remission of sins for those people in the past back here. In other words, back here in Genesis through Malachi, the blood of those animals couldn't take away their sins. So Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, he died for the sins that are past. Do you know where you find that?
Romans 3:20.
Got any idea in your Bible where you find that?
Romans 3.
I reckon I ain't been teaching y'all too good. I want you to take two passages. Take Romans chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 9. Romans chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 9. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom, as a reference to Jesus Christ, of verse 24, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, is Paul telling me that my sins, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, and he died in A.D. 33, that all of my sins that I'm going to commit in the future, those that I committed before I got saved, let's just say this is the point of where I got saved at. Well, all of those sins that I committed from the birth to here are paid for. What about those sins from here to the rapture?
Old things are passed away.
What have I got to do? Have I got to claim 1 John 1:9?
No.
Why?
Because it ain't to you.
God has forgiven me all trespasses, ain't he?
Yes.
Amen.
Well, did God Almighty back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, talking to Moses, didn't he say, Moses, I see that man's evil from his youth up? There, and in Psalms chapter 14, didn't God look down from heaven on the sons of men and see there's none good, no, not one? Well, go back to Romans chapter 5. Let me show you something in here. I want to show you something. Verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. Are these Romans sinners?
Yes.
Are there any other kind of people in the world?
No.
Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, yeah, there is.
Dead people.
Are we all sinners?
Yes.
Are the Romans sinners?
Yep.
Are the Romans involved in those who first trusted in Christ?
Yes.
Are they sinners?
Yes.
All right. Now, Paul said, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed until the day of redemption. In other words, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, let me show you something. The sins of the past. Go to Hebrews 9. Verse 14. How much more? In other words, he's putting the blood of Christ against the blood of the bulls and goats that they offer back here when they trespassed against the law, in other words. Now, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Is he talking about the sins that these people had back here? Romans 3, verse 25, for the remission of sins that are past. He ain't talking about mine and your sins. All of our sins are gone. Now, go to Ephesians and take Ephesians 2 and Colossians chapter 2. Let me show you something. Why I say there's a difference in people. Are we sinners?
Yes.
Are we?
Yes, we're.
Okay. But wait a minute. Are these sinners that first trusted in Christ?
I'd say yes.
Alright. Don't forget that now. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Hold the fort. Were these people dead in their trespasses and sins?
I don't think so.
No, they were not. They were sinners, but they were not dead in their sins. Why is he saying we are dead in our sins?
No hope.
Go to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. And you, not us, and you, these Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 12, verse 13, Colossians 2, 13, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Were we dead in sins?
Yes.
Why were we dead in sin? Are we sinners worse than anybody else in this Bible? Are you a worse sinner than those back here?
Probably.
We're all, didn't God say, all of them have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Romans chapter 3. Well, what's the difference between us and here?
We didn't have a covenant.
Were these who first trusted in Christ, were they sinners?
Yes.
Yes.
You know what they had that me and you didn't have?
Covenant.
Had a hope. They had a hope. All sinners had a hope as long as Israel's on the scene. Hmm. When Israel became Lo-Amni, you ain't got no hope. I'm dealing with a woman on Tuesday nights. She cannot turn loose of Israel. She cannot get out of the fact that Israel is not God's people today. Having a hard time with that lady. You see, if Israel's still on the scene, these people such as us had a hope. But when Israel became Lo-Amni, not God's people, then me and you had no hope. And when I was born without a hope, and what was that Les Feld that said? All those from Adam to Jesus Christ, all Gentiles, we'll say here's Adam, here's Jesus Christ right here. When he came into the lost sheep of the house of Israel, came to his own, all Gentiles in here had no hope.
He said Abram, not Adam, Abram.
From Abel?
Abraham.
From Abram.
From Abel?
Abram.
Oh, Abram? Well, that's Abraham. Yeah, his name's changed to Abraham.
From Abraham, all those 2,000 years. He said they didn't have no hope. I heard him say it from all this.
Was there a mixed multitude that came out of the land of Egypt with Israel back here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you think them was Jews that the mixed multitude?
No.
Jews is Jews, ain't it?
Right.
Didn't Gentiles come in the covenant blessings back here? The same as these in Ephesians 1:12?
I want to ask you a question. Does this fit in here out of Romans 11:32? And if it does, where would you pinpoint it? For God have concluded them
all in unbelief that he
might
have
mercy. Put, and where would you put that at? Pinpoint where you would say, is that when the Acts 28?
Well, what is it? We'll go to Romans chapter 11. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 11. You see, now I got a bad problem of believing God means what he says. You understand? Now, in Romans chapter 11, before we go to the verses David's talking about there, go to verse 11. I say then, have they, that's a reference to Israel, stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, in other words, through their fall, Gentiles can get saved, but while Gentiles being saved in that group that first trusted in Christ, while they being saved, to provoke Israel to jealousy. If Israel is Lo-Amni, before you was ever born, how is your salvation going to provoke a Jew to jealousy? Now watch what happens in the context here. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, that's for the Gentile world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. In other words, the rapture of the church takes place, the tribulation over here on the other side, 7 years time of Jacob's trouble, and Isaiah chapter 60, you can read about it. He says, arise, shine, for thy light is come in their fullness. When Israel arises, and I suspect if you studied Ezekiel 36 and 37, you can see they arise when them bones start coming together and the sinews and the flesh and all of that. And you know what God does? God asks Ezekiel a question. And I can see Ezekiel the same as John the Baptist, excuse me, as Peter in the book of John 21. Think about that. God asked Ezekiel, said, Ezekiel, you think these bones can live? Now they're talking about dried, parched bones. Y'all ever seen a dried, parched bone? No meat on it, no nothing on it, just a bunch of dried bones. And I can see Ezekiel's attitude in his mind laughing. Now, Lord, you know them bones can live. All you got to do is say so. You see, there ain't nothing too hard for God to do. When God saved people such as us that had no hope, there ain't nothing that God can't do. There ain't nothing too hard for God. That's why I say these people that put more than 7 years over here in the tribulation don't trust God. Do you think God can do everything he needs to do over here in 7 years? I believe he can do it in a year. I believe he can do it at the snap of the finger in one moment.
Amen.
There ain't nothing too hard for God. Don't sell God short. I can see Ezekiel back there looking at them bones. They start coming together and the sinews and the flesh, and there they lay right there and they ain't moving. As Adam, when Adam was created back here. You know what God tells Ezekiel? Prophesy unto the wind. And you know what happened when he did? Them bones started getting up. Well, Israel's going to get up over here after the tribulation. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 25 now. And we're going to back up in just a minute because I want to show you something that's very important in the context of Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in." So, Paul goes on to say, "The deliverer shall roar out of Zion, turn away ungodliness from Jacob." He said, "This is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins." Second coming, new covenant. Old covenant back here, Jesus Christ shed his blood for those that had the blood of bulls and goats that couldn't take away their sins back here. The sins that are past. So over here, these over here that go through the tribulation, endure to the end of their life, which they did back here because of the dispensation that we live in now, the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's always been by grace back here, but we're in the dispensation of the grace. In other words, this is a dispensation different than that which was given to Paul in Acts chapter 9. You understand? It's different. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins." When is the nation Israel's sin going to be taken away?
At the second coming.
At the second coming. Whose? Just because they're all Jews, are all the Jews' sins going to be done away with?
Well, what's the interest in
that? What do they got to do?
Interest
in that. Well, go to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. And then we're going to go to Isaiah 59. Somebody remind me to go to Isaiah 59. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." Well, I got it right here. "For lo, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, if you'll help me." Does God need any help from Haiti or anybody like that to get Israel back over there? I don't believe God wants them over there right now. You know why? They're fighting over there. When God calls them back into their land, it's going to be peace and harmony. As in Isaiah chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 11. Study it. Now watch what it says. Verse 3. "For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah." Go over to verse, let's read on. We might as well read the rest of it. Verse 5. "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doeth travail with child. Whether do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." In other words, Israel will be saved out of the tribulation. Go to Isaiah chapter 59. Look who he's talking about. Isaiah 59. This is the prophecy that Paul quotes in Romans 11. And we're going back to Romans 11 when we get through here, because there's something important in the context that you need to get a grip on, that I don't believe a lot of people see. Verse 20. "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Hold the fort. Why did he say thy light is come?
Christ came.
Go to a holy place here. Go to John chapter 9. Beloved, the book of John is written to Israel. It ain't written to the church, the body of Christ. Now, it's written for our admonition and learning, but it's written to Israel. Is God's light going to shine someday in Israel?
Amen.
Well, can it do it while we're here?
No,
it can't. Look at John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Israel's in blindness. You know the first miracle that Paul did in the book of Acts, chapter 13? He blinded a man that's called Bar-Jesus. He's a type of Israel in blindness today. He's going about trying to find his way, and he can't. He's got to have somebody to lead him. If he ain't got a dog, he's got somebody holding his arm. There was an advertisement on TV, and it took me a while to figure out what was going on. This woman and this man are out in out in the Grand Canyon somewhere, over standing on a ledge overlooking it, and the man's blind. Have y'all seen that? And I don't even know what the commercial's about. It took me a while to figure out, hey, this man's blind. You seen it? I just thought that she was, but she's leading him. Israel today has got to have somebody to lead them to the Lord. Well, how can you, in this old program on TV, Fellowship of the Israel and the Jews or something like that and people today, that won't work. I'm going to show you that in Romans chapter 11. Now watch what he says here. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Hold the fort. Who requires signs? The Jews. Do we require signs?
No.
You ain't going to get one. Now, you may fool around with some of these signs back here and some of them over here, and I believe the world's being made ready to accept these signs over here after the rapture, because God's going to send somebody a strong delusion. You know what's the strong delusion? It's the Antichrist. You know what he has power to do? Make fire come down out of heaven. Back here in Joshua, when he had those prophets back there, he said, call on your God and see who God accepts of sacrifice. So you know who God accepted the sacrifice? Joshua did. Came down with fire. This character that's coming over here has power to make fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. I bet you ain't thinking, if I had the power to go out there in the middle of that road out there and say, Lord God, send down a big fireball down here and melt this asphalt. And it did. What would you think? I'd probably run away from myself. I think the devil done got in me. Well, you think about that over here. People won't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved here, go into the tribulation. They will believe that Antichrist over there. God's going to cause you to do it. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is what?
Day.
Yeah. What's going to happen? The night cometh. You ever read Romans 13? Paul said, the night is far spent. Israel was in blindness. He blinded that man in Acts 13. Israel's been diminishing all the way through the book of Acts, finally cast away. So Paul said, and he wrote Romans in Acts 20, before he became a prisoner for us, he already knew about us, but he ain't writ about us yet. You understand?
Right.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So he knew about us in Acts 18. But he was given a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he open his mouth and tell somebody before it's time to do it. And the reason it ain't time to do it is because Israel's still there. And my cousin, he thinks all Gentiles that Paul went to are the same. He's wrong. He ain't by himself.
Amen.
Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while is the day, the night cometh, when no man can work. Now listen to me. That ain't very hard to figure, is it? Are we in nighttime, far as Israel's concerned?
That's right.
Yes. Their light ain't come yet, has it?
No.
Didn't he tell them in Isaiah 60, arise, shine, thy light has come, second coming?
Yeah.
Watch what he tells these people in verse 5. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Woe to Ford, who's the god of this world today according to Ephesians chapter 2?
Satan
is. You know what Satan's doing according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3? He's blinding people's eyes lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, that this glorious gospel was committed unto him. Go back to Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, I want to show you something. Hold Isaiah, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, I know a pastor, he's gone now. He ain't just left the country, he left the world. He said the 12 were in the body of Christ, wrote articles about it, proved it by his doctrine that the 12 were in the body of Christ. And I talked to him about it. You know what he told me, the reason why he believed the 12 were in the body of Christ? He said God don't leave out nobody when he changes dispensation. Think about that. Luke chapter 19. Bible says Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. Did he come to seek and save anybody over here in the dispensation of the grace of God that we live in? Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, God would have all men to be saved. Come on the knowledge of truth. Was God having all men to be saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I don't care what you think about it. No. What does the Bible say about it? No. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That's right.
Luke 4:18 is out in the woods. That man standing in a bit of quicksand. You know what he's doing? He's sinking a little bit every time he opens his mouth and says, God said this and God said that. Fred Wolf is not a man of God. You understand? Now, he may be a man of the God of this world, but not the creator of heaven and earth. God don't send somebody to lie to you. He don't do that. If I lie to you, the devil made me do it. You know what I'm saying? The devil made me do it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Comparing Isaiah 60. Verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Is Peter an elder?
Yes.
And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Did Peter witness the sufferings of Christ? Didn't he deny him back there?
Yes. Right.
God told him, said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows.
Mm.
Peter said, not so, Lord, but he did.
He did.
Verse, in the middle of the verse, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. When will that glory be revealed?
Second coming.
At the second coming. When is your glory revealed? Back at the cross. We were resurrected with Him. According to Romans chapter 8, we're already justified, we're already forgiven, we're already glorified in Christ, the new creature, that we are not in this body. I'm still the old sore thing like you is in the body. But I got a new man. You understand? It's a new creature created in Christ. I was listening to David Jeremiah was one of the other pastors. I forget who he was, but he's talking about being born again. You got to be born again. No, you ain't. You got to be made a new creature in Christ. Now, watch what Peter says there. Verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, do also am an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Go to Isaiah 60 and take Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Mm. Wow. You know who's darkening the world today?
It's
Satan. And you know what Paul said about that character in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? He said, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He said, therefore it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. When is Israel going to rise? At the second coming over here. Those that turn from transgression in Jacob. Those that die in faith. Those that endure to the end. Not so in here. It's over here after the rapture of the church. God will deal with Israel again in the tribulation. That's very clear. Go to Matthew 25. Y'all know back in the Old Testament there was a child born back then. Y'all know what his name was? Ichabod. You know what Ichabod means? God ain't in this building. That's what it means. The glory of God's gone. Israel ain't had the glory of God no more. They won't have the glory of God until the second coming over here. When Israel arises, thy light is come. Matthew 25, verse, let's go to verse 29, so I can show you when this is. Soon after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. I ain't going to read another word until somebody says, shut your mouth, Mr. Peter.
What chapter verse are you in?
Did y'all hear what I read?
Yeah.
Or y'all just doing like some of them sitting in churches? Well, y'all, boy, I really love that message the preacher had this morning. It's so good, it just touched my heart. Yeah, what did he say? I missed it. Well, you know, you didn't hear it. Well, ask so-and-so, he'll tell you what he said. Well, I thought you said it was a good message. Well, I just didn't hear all of it. Now let's read the verse properly.
Verse
29. Matthew 25, verse 29. I apologize.
What'd you do now?
Matthew 24.
Okay, I was like,
that's why y'all didn't say nothing.
You get away with a lot like that.
Y'all just, are y'all all asleep? Matthew 24, verse 29.
You sure?
And y'all know what I said? Soon after the tribulation.
Immediately.
Does it say soon after?
No. Immediately.
Immediately. Now here's the tribulation. 7 years long. When that 7 years is done, that's it. God's through with it, that's it. Just like when he destroyed Jericho back here, he told them to march around the city 7 times and don't open your mouth. And on the 7th time, go around it 7 times, and in the 7th time, shout. Blow the trumpet and shout. Why? God's going to give you the place. You ain't got to lift a finger. Just all you got to do is shout. God will give it to you. So immediately after the tribulation, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give a light, stars fall from heaven, the power of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes hold a fort. What tribe are you from? You know what Paul told you to do about genealogies? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the strivings of the law or the genealogies. You know why? They minister questions rather than godly edifying. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to preach the book just like it says. So when I preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I preach it to the people it was written to.
Amen.
So you can understand that if somebody is dealing in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the dispensation that we live in, or Hebrews through Revelation, as Jack Van Ampey and Hagee and a bunch of others got us over in the book of Revelation, which can't work. Can't work. We're not in the book of Revelation. Now, watch what it says, verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. You ever thought about the tribes of Israel that's named in the book of Revelation chapter 7? There's 12,000 saints out of each tribe, 144,000 out of each tribe. That's who the book's written to, the servants of God, the 144,000. Now, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Hold the fort. Do you know who that promise is to?
Yes.
Coming in the clouds? Do you know where that's at? Acts chapter 1. Those men are standing there, and Jesus Christ goes up, and they see him go into the clouds, and he ain't no more. And the angel said, why stand you up here gazing? That same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you saw him go. Well, how many people's going to see the rapture? Ain't going to be many. It ain't going to be no great trains running off the tracks, airplanes falling out of the sky, cars running off in the ditch, and car going down the road and there ain't nobody in it. Yeah, I don't think you're going to miss it. All I know what the world's going to say, well, I knew them people that joined that occult, they gone. Where they at now? Well, I don't know. They just disappeared. Ain't nobody seen them. They gone somewhere. Where'd they go? Well, I don't know. But I knew they was wrong. I tried to tell them while they was in this church, they didn't have these problems. While they stayed in the Baptist and the Catholic and the Methodist and the Jehovah's Witness church, believe their doctrine, everything was good for them. You know where that come from? Out of the mouth of Satan. You know where it started? When Israel come out of bondage back here of Egypt. They said, Moses, we should have stayed back young. Had all that good food and stuff to eat. Said, we're out here starving to death. Ain't even got no water to drink. Y'all know what God told Moses in Exodus? Said, Moses, go over there and that rod you got in your hand that you've done all them signs with and smite that rock over yonder and it'll bring forth his water. His water? A rock referenced as a masculine thing? His water? You know who that rock is?
Christ.
That's Jesus Christ. But you know what happened to Moses? They got thirsty again and God said, Moses, go over there and speak to the rock. Y'all know what Moses did?
He hid it.
Went over and smote it. You know what that rock represents? The death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And he told Peter in Matthew 16, upon this rock I'll build my church. Not the church. Do you think that's the church, the body of Christ?
No.
Do you know who the first member is in the church, the body of Christ?
Paul.
Paul. When did Paul get saved?
Acts 9.
Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. The Bible says the Lord added to this church daily such as should be saved. This is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins. So that church there is not the same as this church here. We are the church, the body of Christ. We are members of his body. So that church in Matthew 16 is a Jewish church looking for Jewish promises over here at the second coming. That's Peter right. is a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. We already glorified. We were glorified in AD 33, resurrected with him, forgiven all our trespasses. These people's trespasses are conditional. If. Ours are non-conditional. While we were yet dead in our sins, Jesus Christ died for us. These here were sinners, those who first trusted in Christ. The same as everybody else in the world. We were sinners too, but we were dead because we had no hope until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel to us. Now, what is he saying here? Go to chapter 25. Chapter 25, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. When's he going to come in his glory? Immediately after the tribulation. So you got 7 years of tribulation, and immediately after that, the Son of Man will come. They will see him. He'll be in the clouds. Now, you know, that's why John 3:16 is so important to a Jew. You know why? Israel scattered among the nations. His people are scattered in the world. God so loved the world, his people are scattered all over the world. Israel is a scattered bunch of people today. And God's not asking somebody to help him get them into his back into Palestine today. He's going to do that. That's his job. What is our job? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
Amen.
Between these two groups of people, which was hid in God before the foundation of the world. It's made manifest in Acts 18 to Paul, but he wasn't allowed to speak about it until after Israel became Lo Amnon, because it wasn't time. In due time. Go back to Romans chapter 11. I told you I wanted to show you something that, about the Jews that's different. Now, through their rise, the world can be saved through their rise. What about through their fall? Salvation came to the Gentiles, these who first trusted in Christ, to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, I'm going to draw a line between these two people. There's two groups of people here, those who first trusted and whom you also trusted, because these here that first trusted are in the covenants of promise. They claimed Abraham as their daddy. They're in the covenants of promise. They have all the ordinances and stuff that they had been doing. These didn't have anything. They were dead in sins. Now, in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. What Gentiles is that? Those that's in the covenants of promise, those that first trusted in Christ. He's not talking to me and you specifically. He's talking to Gentiles that's in the covenants of promise. Now, verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my office. Now here's our verse. Verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Is the Paul telling the Gentile to emulate the Jew?
Right.
Is Paul telling the Gentile to emulate the Jew? Who is Paul's people? Hold your place and go to chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness, continue sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Go back to Romans chapter 11, verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Israel. In other words, Israel now has to emulate the Gentiles. You understand? But in their rise, the Gentile will go through Israel again. Now, in here, the Gentile is the preeminence. The Jew got to go through the Gentile. You understand? You can't go through Israel's promises today. These people here don't. The Jew got to go through the Gentile here to get to God. How can a Jew get to God today? By the gospel of Christ. Amen. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To who? The Jew first. And to the Gentile. And Paul, and Barnabas, well, it was Saul at that time, in Acts chapter 12, they fulfilled that ministry going to the Jew first. They completed it. It's full. Then they went to Jew and Gentile, corporate body, right here. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. There's one body made up of Jew and Gentile, spiritually baptized into this body, to the church. The Lord added to this church back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said so in Acts 2. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, I'm already saved. The Holy Spirit don't add non-believers to the church and body of Christ and then expect them to get saved later on. You get saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body, then you can come under the knowledge of the truth. You know, I don't doubt everybody's salvation or nothing, but it just bothers me when somebody says, I'm saved and I believe Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will guide me into truth, and then when you show them truth, they reject it. I have a problem with that.
It's a strong.
But I'm not going to say they're lost or saved. That's up to God.
Couldn't that be a stronghold?
Well, it could be a strong delusion type thing that Satan is blinding their eyes lest they see. You see, I believe we got some saved people in denominational systems that won't never come under the knowledge of the truth.
They're like babes.
You know why? They ain't being taught the truth.
That's right.
You, I mean, you can't believe something you ain't taught.
Yeah.